the near post. Messi to the net. Mamma mia! Ramel Kiyoko now. Here's a Honduran. He'll whip it in back to the far post. Elise! Albert Elise. La Pantanita. It's a Honduran connection.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com. From the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, fresh on the heels of the blitz here, Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman. I'm not fooling around here. Let's go right to it. Today we saw a legendary performance from a legendary soccer player, Cristiano Ronaldo, with Atletico Madrid holding a 2-0 aggregate lead. Second leg in turn, Juventus would get a 3-0 victory. They advance 3-2. Who gets the hat trick? Cristiano Ronaldo. Goal number one sounds like this.
Emre Can into Federico Bernardeschi. This match is flying by. Bernardeschi falls in! Cristiano Ronaldo is there yet again against Atletico Madrid.
Number two goes down like this.
It's into Ronaldo! Saved by Oblak.
What a save. No, it's in. It's over the line.
It's gone over the line and Juventus are level. And it's Cristiano Ronaldo again.
Level on aggregate. This is how the game is won. A silly foul, a push from behind that leads to a penalty.
It's Ronaldo against Oblak. It's three! It's the record-equaling Champions League 8 hat-trick of Cristiano Ronaldo.
Unbelievable. It's an Italian festival going on now in Turin as Juventus 3-2 will advance over Atletico Madrid and Diego Simeone, the man in black. In the other game, I mean, how embarrassing is this for Schalke in the Bundesliga? 7-0 they go down to Manchester City. I believe the aggregate ends up, what, 9-2? So 10-2. So we welcome you in to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Again, a big thank you to our presenting sponsor, the Daspit Law Firm. Cristiano Ronaldo is in rarefied air, in my opinion. From a competitive standpoint, from a focus, from being a soccer player that wants to win everything, still at 34 years of age. If we look at all sports, I put him in a category with, yeah, if we're going to bring in the mainstream sports, Tom Brady would be one you would put him in. Old school Tiger Williams. Tiger Woods. Tiger Williams. That was Dave the Tiger Williams was a fighter for the Toronto Maple Leafs way, way back, I believe. Tiger Woods. I think Nadal in tennis might be one. And, of course, we have to go to Michael Jordan in basketball, right? So who would be some athletes that you would put in the same category with Cristiano Ronaldo? When it comes to competitiveness, a desire that just never goes away, it is remarkable. I mean, this guy's performance today, it's ridiculous. The stage is set. Everybody and their mother says Cristiano Ronaldo has to step up. We've seen him do it over and over. Scores two in the air, one from the penalty spot. Who else would you want taking a penalty kick, quite frankly? But it is amazing to witness athletes like this that are so good at their craft, and they are so focused on game day. And I think if we go around, we can find out that there are many athletes that, you know, are trying to be celebrities or rappers, and they're not going to reach these heights because their focus isn't 100% there. Gio Dos Santos is a guy in MLS that just, I mean, I have to think it's embarrassing for Gio to be paid off and told to leave. Don't let the door hit you in the you-know-what on your way out. Yes, he's a wealthy man, but I'm wondering now if Gio Dos Santos, from the standpoint of wanting to open his soccer soul up and say, you know what, I'm going to come back and I'm going to show people that I still have game and that I do want to be competitive and that I want to make a difference on a football team. We'll see. Or he can walk off into the sunset and basically probably do whatever he would like to do. But I would love to see if his soccer soul now that has been slit open, if there's something in there that says he wants to come back and respond to the critics because they're providing you the motivation. 713-780-3776 is the number tonight. 713-780-3776. U.S. roster has dropped for the upcoming friendlies, including the March 26th match right here in Houston between U.S. and Chile. Dynamo, in a couple of hours, will be taking on Tigres of Monterrey, Mexico, down at the El Volcan. This is going to be a very interesting night because Tigres Rayados, they are in a struggle for a Liga MX title. The Dynamo down 2-0 on aggregate. They have a challenge. They also have an opportunity on their hands. We're going to go live down to Monterrey in our next segment. Victor Ariza is going to join us, and he's been giving some wonderful updates from down there and providing sort of the backdrop and the environment. We will go down to him. We have Christian Roldan of the U.S. Men's National Team. That'll be here March 26th to take on Chile. You can get your tickets at ussoccer.com. We can't tell you how important this match is, but the big thing I'm hearing is price. People think it's overpriced. And I think it's a talking point for sure, because when your business is down, sometimes your prices go down. It's happened with me on this show. 713-780-3776. We're streaming at ESPN975.com. Mark Dos Santos of the Vancouver Whitecaps. He is their manager. First year with the Whitecaps. They are the Dynamo opponent this Saturday. Mark will be on the show here tonight. We will have him on as well. Tom Marshall, who always provides us such great insight from Liga MX. We're going to talk about Tata Martino and his lineup. You saw the U.S. roster today. What do you think of it? Also, question of the day, what is the best soccer stadium you have ever gone to? Best, favorite, or most memorable moment? What stadium was it in watching a soccer match? 713-780-3776 is the number. I've got Vancouver Whitecaps Dynamo tickets to give away. Copa Libertadores is in action tonight. Boca Juniors is taking on Tolima. Absolutely love the Copa Libertadores. But let's start by going to Zinedine Zidane. Back at Real Madrid now. Has signed a deal through 2022. Santiago Solari is out. That was expected. I don't know why people think this is, you know, why didn't they just keep him? Well, obviously there was something that wasn't either working there with contract or he wanted to step away from the game. I'm sure the whole Cristiano Ronaldo situation may have played into it. But I guarantee you, when the president of Real Madrid is going back to Zinedine Zidane, Zidane is in a wonderful position of negotiation. I don't know what the future of Gareth Bale is. But all of a sudden, with all this problematic stuff going on with Real Madrid, out of all competitions, in some ways being embarrassed by Ajax, all of a sudden now they've wrestled back a lot of positivity with Zidane being named again. And now all of a sudden everything's okay. Well, the question is now he's going to have to build this team back to a degree. He's going to have resources that he's familiar with, but he's going to have to build this team back. It's going to be very different for Zinedine Zidane. Got a break from managing. He's going to have to come in. He's going to have to assess. They're going to obviously go after a new star. The president has already mentioned Kylian Mbappe, Neymar. But he's got to do some building now. He's got to lay a little bricks and mortar. Eden Hazard is another one. Is expected to jump ship. We have seen this before. Bayern Munich did it with Jupp Heynckes, bringing back successful managers. Chelsea did it with Jose Mourinho. Milan and Real Madrid have done it in the past with Fabio Capello. Louis van Gaal with Barcelona. Serbat Busby with Manchester United. Successful managers get rehired. And sometimes they're able to renegotiate from a position of power because they've been there and done that for you. 713-780-3776. Here is the United States men's national team roster. They will take on Chile March 26th right here at BBVA Compass Stadium. Goalkeepers, Ethan Horvath, who plays for Bruges. Sean Johnson, New York City FC. I think the number one right now is Zach Steffen. John Brooks, we go into the defenders now. John Brooks of Wolfsburg. Omar Gonzalez playing with Atlas in Liga MX. Nick Lima of San Jose. Aaron Long of the Red Bulls, Daniel Lovitz, who was just here with Montreal and Houston, Matt Miazga of Reading, Tim Ream of Fulham, and DeAndre Yedlin, of Newcastle, who remarkably, he's got 57 caps already. I was a little surprised when I saw that. Midfield, Tyler Adams, who with Leipzig now has not lost. He's gone over there, transitioned into their first team. He's a huge piece of that team now. They've won 5 games and drawn 3 with him. He has not lost in 8 games. So Tyler Adams, Michael Bradley, TFC, Sebastian Legette, Weston McKennie of Schalke, who's just been, I mean, utterly ripped to shreds by Manchester City. I mean, the gap there, just ridiculous. Christian Pulisic. Now you have a chance to see him in Houston. Player that was transferred for $73 million. That's mainstream sports news. Okay, so for all my mainstream buddies out there, that's sports news. $73 million to pay for an athlete. Decide if it's worth it. Christian Roldan of Seattle, and he'll be in an interview on the show tonight, and Wilp Trapp of the Columbus Crew, who was a big part of Berhalter's teams in Columbus when he was there. Paul Areola, Corey Baird, Jonathan Lewis up front. Jordan Morse, Christian Ramirez, and Jozy Zardes, who comes off scoring a pair of goals this past weekend. So you have 14 players that come across from the January camp. Greg Berhalter saying that they wanted to be consistent going from camp to camp. You've got veterans back in now. So it's 15 Major League Soccer players and 9 European players. So this is going to be very, very interesting. They're going to take on real competition in Chile. They're going to take on a team that plays a pressing style of play. And later on, we're going to talk about it with Christian Roldan on this program. We do have some Greg Berhalter sound. So here is Greg Berhalter talking about the U.S. roster, how this was put together. Now, there are a couple of absences, Tim Weah and Josh Sargent. You say, why aren't these guys called up? Sargent at Werder Bremen. Tim Weah with Celtic in Scotland has scored goals. They're going to play with the under-23s for the moment. And that doesn't mean they're not in the picture. And that doesn't mean a lot of other people aren't in the picture. This is not set in stone. But it's a manager who has his reasons for bringing in specific people.
So the objectives of this camp are going to be to continue to develop our style of play. I think we've made progress in the first camp, and now it's about can we take it to another level. We know there'll be some challenges with that, but we're comfortable that in this evaluation process, we'll still be able to build on our style of play.
Am I on an island right now? Soccer fan, you're out there tonight. 713-780-3776. Am I on an island when I say this is the most interested I've been in the national team for quite some time? And the reason is not because I didn't like the past national team. The reason is because it's being rebutted. It's being regrown. It's exciting to be able to see this group of young players. Look, the silver lining out of not making the World Cup was being able to bring in these young players at a young age and give people opportunity at an earlier age here. You know, the Tyler Adamses to me, the Weston McKennies, the Roldans, these younger players, to me, exciting. And there's a bunch of them on the fringe that haven't even been called in. Let's quickly go to John before we take a break. John, what's on your mind tonight?
Hi, Glenn. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure, John.
Yeah, so, about the U.S. men's national team roster that just came out. You know, I've been really pleased with how the U.S. looked in their first two games, you know, and the system that Greg Berhalter is trying to implement. I was, though, you know, you look at the main thing I'm excited about as far as the new roster that came out is, you know, getting to see Pulisic and Adams and McKennie all on the same roster, you know, trying to find roles in Berhalter's system. But the one area I was kind of disappointed in is just like what you were talking about, was not seeing Weah and Sargent also in that system with, you know, some older players also being on the roster that I don't really see having a long-term future with the team. Main one being Omar Gonzalez and, you know, Tim Ream is kind of on the older side too. So one of the things I wanted to hear your take on was, do you think that guys like Tim Weah and Josh Sargent need more time with the under-23 team? Or do you think, you know, it would be better to see them, you know, with the full side?
Well, I think simply, and that comes down to Greg Berhalter and what he's doing. I think obviously he thought, well, Tim Weah, Josh Sargent, these two matches are probably not going to play. It's better for them to go down to the under-23 team where they will play, and they will be focal points of that team. So for their development, and in this particular case, I think that's probably what has occurred here. So I don't think by any means anybody's writing anybody off. This is not any final roster. This is just the first kind of glimpse of a mixture of 14 players from Major League Soccer, and or 15, and then 9 from Europe. And there's a lot of mixing and matching that's going on, but I think there's a lot of thought that has gone behind this, because I think Greg Berhalter is a very thoughtful manager. He's thinking about things. There's no question.
Great. The last question I had for you, Glenn, is with Tyler Adams in the national team picture for these two games, where do you think he's going to land position-wise? Do you think he'll land at that, you know, kind of inverted fullback position that Nick Lima was playing, or do you think he'll land in that defensive midfielder position?
Really a good question. My concern there is, and by the way, he's going to be around a long time, so get used to the name Tyler Adams. We had him on the show last week. It was an amazing interview, mature beyond his years. He's starting all the time now for Leipzig in the German Bundesliga, who's near the top of the table. Look, that's going to be the real question. What I hope at the national team is he doesn't become the knife that does everything. It's got a screwdriver, it's got a blade.
A Swiss knife?
Swiss Army knife. I don't want Tyler to become a Swiss Army knife. Thank you, Andrew. I don't want him to be a Swiss Army knife. I want him to be a guy that is going to be able to define a role with the national team. That said, he could play as a right back, as you mentioned. He could play a variety of positions in midfield. He could play in the 6. He can play 7. You know, there's a bunch of different places he could play. So he may be the guy that's moved in order to get other people into a lineup. But that's why you hire a manager in Greg Berhalter. And that is a kid that will willingly take on whatever role the manager gives him. All right, John.
Great. Appreciate it.
John, thank you very much for that phone call. Couple of things here to talk about here real quick before we hit a break up here, and get ready. Get your dialing fingers ready now, because I'm going to give away a pair of tickets to the Dynamo Vancouver Whitecaps. I do want to remind you, this Sunday, 3:30 to 5:30, Cyfair Youth Dynamo Soccer Club is going to hold their annual Kick Cancer Soccer Camp in conjunction with Soccer Matters. So it's Sunday, March 17th. It's Dias Park, Kitsman Road. Now look, this soccer club has been doing this for a year. This is all about them giving back to the community, Olivier Finidori and Cyfair Dynamos. Dynamosoccer.com to sign up, or cccfund.org. It's only $50. You get a beautiful T-shirt. Absolutely beautiful T-shirt. It's like blue and green. Really cool. And you're out there and you're training. You're getting touches in. There's going to be pro players there. Josh Gardner plays for used to play for the LA Galaxy, Columbus, Sporting Kansas City. He's going to be there. Supposed to be a Dynamo player there, Dash player. 15,000 people or youth are yearly diagnosed with cancer. We need your support. And even if you can't come, you're on vacation and you want to drop $50, we'll get somebody in need to come out to the camp. Sign up at dynamosoccer.com or cccfund.com. .org. A big thank you to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, our presenting sponsors. And right now, caller number 6, 713-780-3776. Pair of tickets to Dynamo Vancouver this Saturday, 2 o'clock. 713-780-3776.
Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Time now for Glenn to name today's big winner. The winner takes it all.
You know you're looking at a winner. Cause we're a winner. All I do is win, 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 no matter what. Everyone's a winner, baby. That's the truth.
From the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, our winner, this is brought to you by Hugh O'Connor's, and they're going to have it big out there at St. Patrick's weekend, 7620 Katy Freeway. You know where the Marquee Entertainment Center is? 18 TVs, big screen. I'll tell you what, this is a really cool bar. It's our good friends at the former Gorgeous Gale. They're big soccer fans. It's where the Liverpool Houston supporters group hangs out. Well, the winner is obviously going to be Cristiano Ronaldo because of the fact, look, that he steps up to the occasion here today. Say what you want about the guy. One of the most competitive athletes in history, in my opinion. And clearly steps up to the table again today. By the way, with a new team in his first year with Juventus. And just remarkable. Hits for a hat trick, reverses the 2-0 aggregate against Atletico Madrid. Our winner today is Cristiano Ronaldo of Juventus for the hat trick against Atletico Madrid. It's brought to you by Hugh O'Connor's, 7620 Katy Freeway, Marquee Entertainment Center. It's right out there. Got a nice outdoor patio, beautiful woods on the inside. They got a great spirits collection. Good food, too. Hugh O'Connor's, 7620 Katy Freeway, and my good friend Peter, 18 TVs and a big screen. All right, everyone's a winner, baby. All right, so now, including the tickets that we're going to give away tonight. I got another pair for the Dynamo Vancouver. We'll give that out. I don't know when we'll give that out. But I want to reverse now here and get us into what is happening down in Monterrey, Mexico, because in the city of Houston, not many people realize we are represented against one of the top soccer-playing clubs in this region of the world, Tigres of Monterrey, and it's in international competition. So it's very rare. That does not happen in other sports in this town. Nobody's necessarily going across the border to play a competitive match. So it's a Dynamo at Tigres. It's going to be a big crowd. It's a Liga MX situation. It is an opportunity for the Dynamo. They are down 2-0 on aggregate. It's a great opportunity for players to play well on a night like this. Here's what the Dynamo manager, Wilmer Cabrera, had to say.
It's a beautiful environment. When you feel in an environment that is hostile, that you know that it's a very good team, you have to enjoy the moment and you have to enjoy these games. And the best way for you to enjoy this type of games is performing with all your passion or your heart and the best way possible. So try, you have to bring your best, the best of you, because this are the moments that can change your life as a player and you can remember forever. So that is always the message with the players, and they know that.
So that was Dynamo manager Wilmer Cabrera. Here's DeMarcus Beasley, who has played in Liga MX. And DeMarcus has played there for Puebla. He has played at the Estadio Universitario. Here's the soundbite from DeMarcus Beasley and what he had to say on playing at the Estadio Universitario in the past and what it'll mean here tonight for the Dynamo.
Some players have asked me about the stadium and you know, how we're going to be received and things of that nature. And, you know, I told them the fan support here is nothing like they've seen. They really support their team. You know, it doesn't matter what type of game. If it's a cup game, if it's a league game, a final, or whatever. You know, they come out in full force, and it's going to be a beautiful night of football. You know, these games you want to play as a player. You know, you want to go out and put your best foot forward. Obviously, we can't think about, you know, being down 2-0. We have to, you know, try to push to, you know, try to get the first goal. And then, you know, after that, you never know what happens.
Yeah, I agree with DeMarcus. Get the game's first goal. You don't get the game's first goal, it's lights out, the fat lady will begin to sing. You got to get the game's first goal. I can assure you the red carpet, if you are asking about what it's going to be like tonight, the red carpet will not be rolled out for you as the visitors coming to the Estadio Universitario. And we got a man who's on the ground down there, our reporter, our good friend Victor Arise is there, and we bring Victor on now. Victor, kind of what's the temperature in Monterrey, Mexico around this CONCACAF Champions League game?
Temperature, I'll owe you that one because I didn't check, but it's a pretty good feel. I mean, it's not too hot. It's a little breeze.
No, I didn't mean the actual temperature. I didn't mean the actual temperature. I'm just, what is the feeling down in Monterrey?
Oh, well, it's a little calm now, calm for the storm. I feel a little nostalgic, I was about to say. Like the Robertson Stadium days. Remember when it would be a little bit of a traffic thing with, you know, students still in school while there's a game on a weeknight? Well, that's kind of a little bit of the feel here. But there's some people coming in after work. The 9 p.m. kickoff time kind of helps that. They're expecting 30,000 people for this game. And then obviously you never know through the box office, there might be a couple more that show up. And in a little while, at 6:45, a bunch of fans are going to make a bit of a crowd here to welcome the team to the stadium. Maybe MLS fans have seen it with Atlanta United, where they kind of welcome them off the bus. Well, I think it's going to be a little more passionate here because they're expecting people with lights, candles, but it's going to definitely going to be an amazing feel. We'll have that a video for you guys on our social media channel. Special night that awaits us tonight.
Yeah, so the Dynamo, yeah, they'll go to Seattle, they'll go to Atlanta, and they'll play in front of huge crowds. But a 30,000 crowd here is it's going to be one of the bigger crowds of the year that the Dynamo play in front of. And nobody's rolling a red carpet out for the Houston Dynamo. How much focus, based on what you're reading and hearing, Victor, and being at the training sessions, how much focus is Tigres putting on this, not looking beyond this to Liga MX play, because they have never won an international competition. And I hear there's been some pressure put on Tuca Ferretti to finally get that done.
Yeah, from what I hear, you know, Tigres obviously wants to win this tournament, but there seems to be more pressure from the fan base than there is from the institution. You know, Real has obviously won a couple of these, right? Champions League, and the Tigres fans kind of angsty, want to get one of their own to kind of, you know, shove it in the face of their crosstown rivals. But there's not a lot of talking to media. There's hardly been any, really, about this game. I was talking to a few of my colleagues down here. You know, why don't you think there's more talk? Because everything I've seen, you know, naturally or just on TV has been, you know, Champions League, obviously the news about Zidane yesterday. There's more talk about the Clásico, right? América Chivas. In Copa MX tomorrow night than there has been about this game. And he says it's because of the scoreline. Tigres is coming here with a 2-0. I mean, yeah, 2-0 lead. Everybody kind of sees it as game over, right? It's all taken care of. You just got to make it official tonight. And it's kind of funny because, had the Dynamo won, not only would they have brought a lead, but now you think about the international branding that they missed out on, right? This whole city would have been talking about, you know, maybe the crisis that it would have been Tigres coming in here with a deficit and having to overcome that at home. But no, it's pretty quiet in that sense. I will add to that other point, the Marcus Beasley did say yesterday, this is like nothing the players have seen before, and it's very different from any other environment in Major League Soccer for sure.
Yeah, no question about it. We ran that sound right before you came on, Victor. And look, you know, you talked about branding and all. There's 30,000 people that you can make an impression on tonight. There are 30,000 people you can make an impression on tonight, and you can leave something there that says Houston Dynamo. You can plant a flag in the ground, and it doesn't necessarily mean actually reversing the scoreline and advancing. It means playing well and playing competitively, and that's my hope tonight, is that when the Dynamo leave Monterrey, Mexico to come home, when they come home, I'm hoping that they're going to come home very prideful.
I'll tell you what, one of my colleagues who actually was talking about this, he says there's not a lot of interest here in Mexico overall, but in Monterrey and MLS, because it's very hard to access MLS games down here, right? But he says Monterrey fans, both Tigres and Rayados, are passionate about soccer. They, you know, they each have a team other than the ones here. You know, for example, Tigres fans root for like Boca Juniors, while Rayados fans lean more towards River Plate. And, you know, the same thing with Barcelona and Real Madrid. And with the MLS, listen to this, Glenn. He said they don't know much about the league, but when Toronto played Tigres last year, you know, fans were kind of curious about Toronto, and they started following the team. The same thing last week, Monterrey was playing Atlanta United, and obviously Atlanta United came down here. I think they were giving away a couple of jerseys as well. And they've endeared themselves and made some new fans here, and Atlanta United have. So there's obviously that opportunity for the Houston Dynamo to tap into what really is an unconquered market here in Monterrey.
Well, and when we live in a city that's got so many Rayados fans and Tigres fans, there is an opportunity there. I think the Dynamo somehow have to tie in to these clubs, or maybe we have a Houston / Monterrey Cup where one year it's played in Monterrey, one year it's played here. But they are some passionate fans. We saw 17,000 of them at BBVA Compass Stadium. And by the way, for people who are like, oh my God, I'm stunned, I'm shocked, there were no Dynamo fans there, Dynamo fans weren't coming out at 9 o'clock on a Wednesday night. Okay, let me be the mayor of Reelsville here. Let me be the guy that brings a little bit of truth to this thing. Okay, we all knew that was what was going to happen on Wednesday. It's something to learn from, and it's something to understand that could be tapped into. And it's if we want to get an environment like that on a regular basis, I do believe it can happen in Houston.
It's a little different here because this game will be kicking off here locally at 9 o'clock, and it's actually easier for the city because it eases, you know, some of the work traffic and allows more people to make it to the stadium. That's another point to that kickoff time.
All right, Victor, we're going to come back to you maybe in about 25, 30 minutes and see if you got any updates on anything or lineups and things like that. We'll check back in with you, please, and we thank you for all your great hard work down there. Nice report. We appreciate it.
For sure. I'll have some more info to share in a little bit.
Okay, that's Victor Ariza down in Monterrey, Mexico tonight. Victor saying there, 30,000 people expected for the game. We'll take calls on the U.S. roster. Mark DeSantos, who is the manager of the Vancouver Whitecaps, they are in town. The Dynamo will get right back to work this weekend. He will be on the phone when we come back. Before we go to break here, though, just a quick reminder. We thank the King's Court. King's Court is 903 Hutchins, shadows of BBVA Compass Stadium. It's where El Batallón goes before games. 13 monitors down there for all your soccer-watching desires. They cover leagues from around the world. The rooftop deck is spectacular and a great view of the stadium. Great British and Indian pub food. King's Court, HoustonTX.com. And right now, sixth caller, you get a pair of tickets to the Dynamo Vancouver this Saturday. Sixth caller at 713-780-3776. We'll take a Daspit Law Firm break.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's Glenn Davis.
Nice win here from Martinez. Can he get something off here? Here's a chance. A good hit. Oh, what a goal! That is Memo Rodriguez. That had eyes for the upper corner. And that is what you call a response.
Big thank you to John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, our presenting sponsor. We welcome you back to Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. It's DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. They are bilingual. Getting an accident, you got to have some representation. We don't want that to happen, but it does get nervy. They'll have you covered. They'll work 24-7 nights and weekends for you. Get that representation you need. DaspitLaw.com. And we're pleased to be joined now by the manager of the Vancouver Whitecaps who come to town this weekend. They'll take on the Houston Dynamo. 2 o'clock kickoff. He is Mark DeSantos. Mark, thank you very much for coming on the program tonight.
No problem, guys. A pleasure.
So, Mark, when I looked at your resume, I would say you're pretty prepared to be a coach in Major League Soccer. You have coached in so many different places, so many different levels. It's a pretty remarkable journey for a guy who's only 41 going on 42 in May. You've coached in Brazil. You've coached in the NASL, the USL. You've been an assistant with the LAFC squad, and you've won titles, Coach of the Year. You have learned the coaching trade in a lot of places, haven't you?
Yes, I did. I was blessed to get a first chance from the Montreal Impact and the organization in Montreal when I was the reserve team coach there. And from there, everything happened. Then, you know, you have to have the courage when you're born in Montreal to go to Brazil with your family because it's very, very different. But the 2 years and a half I spent in Brazil were fantastic for me and my family. Learned a lot. Then the opportunity to build an expansion team in the NASL, both with the Ottawa Fury and the San Francisco Deltas, my learning with coaches and being around coaches at Soap Park Rangers like Peter Vermees and then Bob Bradley in L.A. I said it before, I don't think I'm a I'm a microwave coach. I think I was a coach. I'm a coach that was built and baked a lot of hours in the oven.
Yeah, no question. All you got to do is look at your background. It really is pretty remarkable. I was very interested in looking at all over the varied experience that you've had. So we're two games into the Major League Soccer season. You're trying to get things rebooted up in Vancouver. How about some overall thoughts on the squad so far after the first two games?
No, I think that the results don't really translate what we've done. You know, both games, 3-2 against Minnesota, 1-0 against Real Salt Lake, where we felt in the two games we did enough to tie the game. So we're really talking about little details that got us so close to points. And unfortunately, it ended up not going on our side. But we understand that we're really coming here to change a culture, to build a team with a different type of players, different type of identity. A lot of new players, 75% or close to 80% of the roster is new. A lot of players coming from different countries, different backgrounds. So, of course, that's all a rebuilding that it's taking place. But we're not looking at this project as a two-month, three-month project. You know, we're looking at it as a medium, long-term one that could create what we want to create is solid foundations for the future and not being rebuilding every year.
He's Mark Dos Santos, the manager of the Vancouver Whitecaps, in this weekend at 2 o'clock to take on the Houston Dynamo. Interesting start time there. It's going to be a nice Saturday for you. You can get in, get out. You'll still have time for dinner. You get your tickets at HoustonDynamo.com. Vancouver comes in with a number of good players, and we'll talk to Mark Dos Santos about them in a minute. Ownership. So what did they say to you? Because you do have a long-term plan. Did they say, you know, Mark, here's what we expect. Here's where the flag is going to be planted in the ground. It's here. Does that mean you have to make the playoffs the first year? Does that mean you also have the additional duties of being a visionary for this club? Do you have to be an inspirational leader outside of just coaching the team? You know, how much hands-on are you with the academy side of things and creating the vision of not only playing style, but of sewing and bringing all of this together for the Vancouver Whitecaps?
Yeah, that's what ownership told me in the first day that I was hired. It's really to connect every good thing that there is in the club, from the academy, from the work that has been done with the young players, talking about vertical integration, defining a model of play in the club, principles of play that go from the first team down to the academy, profile of players, building a recruitment department where we're now interviewing this month two people that have the potential to be head of recruitment, and we're looking at big countries to bring somebody important that have experience in Europe, in South America. We want to change the profile of player, go after young players that could also have value of resale in the future. An example was thinking pretty much out of the box when we went to get a player in the second division of South Korea called In Byung Wang, that is now with the first team, the first national team of South Korea, and has an incredible value for the future. So that's what the ownership has asked for me. Of course, that they don't have to ask me about if making the playoffs or going far or trying to win the Canadian Championship. They know it's something that we already established and defined as a group. And even if it's a new team, we do have the ambition and we do want to make the playoffs and win the Canadian Championship.
So Inbom, and he's very interesting, and he looked very good. He's looked very good and had really good moments. I think he's got 7 shots in 2 games. He's only 22 years of age. He's a designated player. Tell us a little bit about him. We have a big Asian community here in Houston, and he's just a very interesting player.
Now, if you have South Koreans in Houston, for sure they know him, and for sure that they're going to be very interested to come and watch him. He's a player that is very gifted technically. He has a perception of the game that he reads very quickly before receiving the ball. I think maybe he looks around him 7-8 times what's going to happen around him. His decision-making is quick. good with both right and left foot, good intensity in his game. Could play in every position of the midfield as a number 6, 8, or even as a number 10, because his decision-making is very good on the ball, and he gives us that dynamic in the last third. So we're very happy to have a player like him.
Mark, how many goals you think you're going to get out of Freddy Montero this year? The 31-year-old Colombian, we all know him so well from Seattle, his time in Major League Soccer, then he headed out of the league for a while. Do you put a target on how many goals you want to get out of Freddy?
No, I don't want to. Maybe I have it in my head. I have a target in my head that if he reaches, I'll be happy with it. Of course, that I don't share that because I don't want – Freddy doesn't need any type of extra pressure, and he needs to come back from his time that he was now in Portugal at Sporting, readapt, readjust with the market, with the reality of MLS. I think he's still in a readjustment period, and that's it. I'm never going to put the pressure of target on him. I think things have to happen naturally.
Now, you guys are certainly a team that has a number of creative players. You got Lucas Veneto as well, who's another interesting player. Jordi Reyna, who we also know, very, very dangerous player. If you were to kind of describe your team in 7-8 games from now, without giving a lot away, what type of team would we see on the field?
I want to be a team that is very aggressive without the ball, that we're a compact team, we're very committed. When we don't have the ball, to try to recover it, not allowing the opponent to play between us. And at the same time, a team that is able to build from phase one to phase two, but is also very fast when they get in the opponent's half, trying to go to goal, being in a vertical way, attacking the opponent's goal. And I think that the players you mentioned, Lucas, Jordi, Bangura, it's all players that allow that verticality and that those acceleration. I want people to see an energetic team, a team that never gives up. And I'm proud that we saw these signs against Minnesota in the last 10 minutes when it was 3-2. We pushed so much. We created. We almost tied the game. The same happened in Salt Lake this Saturday. So that's the type of team that we want to be about.
Chemistry, continuity. I mean, these are things you're trying to lay the groundwork with right now, is just establishing that, right? Because you had so many, I think 15 players have come in, 21 have left. I mean, this is like a clean slate, right?
If you look at the teams that succeed in MLS, there's a continuity. There's a core. You look at Seattle with Marshall, Kim, Lurdan, Fry, Roldan, Lodero, and then you look at Kansas City with Zuzi, Beasley, Seth, Elias Sanchez, Espinoza, Portland with Valeri, with Blanco, Chara, Mabiala. The teams that succeed have a core of players that stick together for a certain amount of time, and that's what we need to build there. We need to create that core and build something that could be sustainable and grow. I often say that this is not PlayStation or Championship Manager, where you just get a bunch of players, you put on the field, and there you go. It doesn't work like that. That's not real life. You know, things need to be built. And that's the way we need to do it here.
Mark Dos Santos, the manager of Vancouver Whitecaps. Again, they're in town, 2 o'clock this Saturday. They take on the Houston Dynamo. You can get your tickets at HoustonDynamo.com. Mark, how about a couple of thoughts on the Dynamo and the difficulties of playing them in Houston?
A team that broke my heart last year when I was with LAFC, right?
Yeah.
In that penalty shootout. No, there's no secret how difficult it is to go to Houston, not only because of the adaptation to weather, to humidity, the quality that Houston has in transition. It's been something in the last 2 years that have been obvious in players like Ellis, Kyoto, Martinez could be dangerous in the quality of his last pass. in that position. No surprise with the qualities of Manotas. That is a player that is made for even other type of levels, in my opinion. A player that makes good run, always dangerous in the box. So it's a team that we know well, that we've looked at well. Of course, we're going to watch the game tonight again. And our doubts are maybe about, okay, what are the options going to be going from this game towards Saturday? But we know that even when it comes to depth and players that could come in, you take an example of Memo Rodriguez that came on against Montreal, played that game and was very effective. So we're aware of those pieces, and hopefully we'll be able to go to Houston and have a good performance.
Mark, we really appreciate you coming on. We wish you the best of luck. It was enjoyable talking to you and talking football with you. And safe travels to Houston, and then we'll see you at 2 o'clock on Saturday. The Vancouver Whitecaps in town. Mark, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you very much. No problem. Thanks.
All right, that's Mark DeSantos, and we appreciate the Vancouver Whitecaps and their staffs bringing him tonight. That gives you some really good insight to what the coach of Vancouver's thinking. He's not giving away any trade secrets. It's just good stuff going into a game to learn how they feel about their team and where they are and what they think about your team. These are the things that can help sell tickets. HoustonDynamo.com, HoustonDynamo.com. How about that? Can't give any more away because I've given them away. We are going to drop, though, another 4-pack, so make sure you're checking us on social media, Facebook, Soccer Matters. Real quick word here for Advantage BMW. You know I love the drive of a BMW. Advantage BMW set me up with my car. I got a 5 Series. I love it. The other thing I love is the customer service down there at Advantage BMW. It's second to none. Advantage BMW Midtown has you covered, sales, service, and finance. It can be done so easy. Go in and see Philip and Justin. And again, a reminder, the Cube 57, that is where you will catch the Dynamo all year long. So catch us on the Cube. Myself, Eddie Robinson, Cindy Bourbano. We will have the call this Saturday. Our pregame show will kick off at 1:30. So a big thank you to the Cube also for being sponsors of Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. We'll take a break.